Well, good morning. So glad you're here this morning. Welcome those of you who are on the live stream with us. We're glad you're here as well. We're so thankful to our volunteers who systematically teach our kids the Word of God week in and week out in the nursery and kids zone. Also, I want to put an exclamation point on the men's retreat is coming up fast. The reason I like the men's retreat is the unhurried time. How many Sunday mornings would it take to equal out an evening of cornhole in terms of time to talk to people? You know, how many Sunday mornings you come in a minute late, you kind of got to go home afterwards, would it take to equal out to an afternoon of disc golf? So I love the teaching and that stuff. You can do that other times. It's the unhurried time that I think is unique to a retreat. So that's my plug. Men's retreat is coming up. Question, did you get through Colossians this week? That's been the challenge. If you got through Colossians this week, would you raise your hand with me? All right, a couple of you. We're keep asking. I hope you're going to know the book cold at the end of this. It won't grow cold, but you'll know it cold. All right, here's what we're going to talk about this week. What is there in your life? What cause do you have that would be worth chains to you? Throughout history, people have worn chains for causes they believe in. And I'm asking you, what do you believe in so much that you would wear chains for it? That you would go to prison for it? The Apostle Paul, when he's writing this letter to the Colossians, he is writing from prison. And so we read, this is what we're going to read today in just a second. He writes, on account of which I am in prison. And then at the end of the book, very last part of the book, verse 18, he says, remember my chains. I think he wrote this sometime between Acts chapter 21 and Acts chapter 28. So in Acts chapter 21, the Apostle Paul is in Jerusalem, and he's going to go up to the temple and try to make peace with some people and offer a sacrifice, and it is super tense, but he's going to try to do this anyway. And people warn him against it, but he's going to do it anyway. And so he goes up, and they see him, and they're like, he's in the temple, that's too far. They're so mad, they try to kill him on the spot, like flash mob try to kill the Apostle Paul on the spot. It's like this giant riot. It's scary. Finally, the Romans come in and break it up and arrest Paul and put him in two chains. And I think the Apostle Paul stays in chains from Acts 21 until Acts chapter 28 when he's rounding, you know, the book is finishing up and he says, I wish you were just like me except for these chains. As far as I can tell, you know, when we preached through Acts, it was over quarantine, actually. We preached through it March of 20 through the end. We talked about staying on mission, and I think he's in chains for 4 years this time, at least 4 years. And he writes the book of Colossians, he writes the book of Ephesians and Philippians, and they're called the prison epistles. My question for you is, what would be worth chains to you? What do you believe in so much? You're like, if that's what it takes, then that's what it takes. Here's what the Apostle Paul says is worth chains to him. Colossians chapter 1, verse 28. Him we proclaim. Okay, don't run past that. It's easy to read that too fast. Like, what's worth chains? telling people about Jesus is worth chains to Paul. Him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. The Apostle Paul is like, here's what's worth chains to me. It's telling people about Jesus so that they are chained for good. They're changed. Like, they're not going to be the same. They are changed in this life. They grow in Christ-likeness in this life, and then their eternity is changed. So they're no longer going to go to hell, but they're going to go to heaven. Because they're mature in Christ. They're changed. That we may present everyone mature in Christ, for this I toil, struggling with all his energy that he powerfully works within me. Then at the end of the book, he says, this is Epaphras' vision too. This is what he thinks is worth chains. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ Jesus, greets you, always struggling on your behalf in his prayers, that you may stand mature and fully assured in all the will of God, that you would change for good, so that you become more like Jesus, that you receive the good news, that you surrender to the good news, and that would change your life and change your eternity. This is worth chains. It's worth prison. It's worth death. It's worth whatever it takes, because this is the hope of the world. This is your hope. This is their hope. This is the good news. This is the chance we have. It is telling people about Jesus. So, we've entitled this series Mature, because what we want is for the gospel to inform how we think, and for the gospel to inform how we act. And this is a passage about sharing the good news so that people can become mature. Let's pray before we start. Lord, I pray that you would meet us in your word today and help us see your glory anew. Let your glory move us out of our comfort and into mission. For your glory's sake and for the good of the world and for our sake. Lord, stand in front of me while I'm in front of them. Talk over me while I talk to them. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're talking about growing in maturity, and a really important way that we grow in maturity is through sharing the good news. The good news about Jesus. So if I'm going to try to prove a point today, it's this, that God uses us to spread the good news. The first part of that I want to talk about is us. He actually uses us. That we are actually part of the plan. He actually uses you. He actually uses me. We are his plan to spread the good news. And so most of the letter has been focused on the church, kind of internally on the church and how they should relate to each other, what they should believe about Jesus. These couple verses are about pointing the church outward to the outside and saying, this is how you relate to them. You're to make the most of every opportunity to share the good news. He actually uses us. We are plan A to spread the good news. Now, what is the good news? I think we should talk about what the good news is for a second, because you have to remember where we are in the letter. So this is open to the passage we are in. And so Colossians, we're looking at verse 2 through verse 6 today. It's this little paragraph. But what came before it, of course, is all of this and all of this and all of this and all of this and all of this. And we don't want to just skip all that. We got to remember where we are in the letter. So Paul has already said what the good news is. We need to stop for a second and remember what the good news is. So of the whole letter, the verses I decided to pick to remind you what the good news is from chapter 1, verse 13. He writes that Jesus has delivered us from the dominion of darkness. Now, what is he saying here? He's reminding us that this is the good news, that there was a time when the dark forces were more in charge of your life than you were, when sin was bigger than you and stronger than you and better than you, and you were in big trouble and you were under their power. But, he says, Jesus took your place. He died in your place so that you would be delivered from the dominion of darkness. Now look, that's not instructions. That's news. You know the difference between instructions and news. Instructions is like, I call them destructions. You open a box and you get out the instructions, and that tells you what to do step by step. When you want to read the news, you open up your news app and you read about what's already happened. This is news. This is not instructions. Jesus has delivered you. He already has. It's not instructions. It's news. Christianity, the good news, the gospel, is not a set of instructions to be the kind of person that God might consider delivering one day because you're good enough now, finally. He doesn't deliver you because you're good enough. He delivers you because he's good. Right? So, he has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. He has delivered us from something to something. From the dominion of darkness to the kingdom of his beloved Son. You are not alone in your fight against sin because you are part of the kingdom of his beloved Son. He moved you into his kingdom. Like a great king can transfer people from one place to another place, he has decided to do that for you. He has decided to move you from the domain of darkness where you couldn't help but sin, where you were the old man or the old person, the old you. He has given you a past tense. He has made you a new person, and now you are being made new. You are new in the kingdom of his beloved Son. Guys, these are not steps. This is just the truth. Steps would be take these steps. You know, there's these 10 steps. And then maybe you'll be the kind of person that he would transfer into his kingdom. Nope. He picked you, he delivered you, and he transferred you, and that's the truth. That's news. It's truth. Then it says, he's like not done yet. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. We have the forgiveness of sins, no matter how old they are, no matter how new they are, no matter how big they are, no matter how many they are. We have the forgiveness of sins because he did this. This is news. This is fact. This is truth. It's not a formula of if you follow these steps, you can make the magic potion that maybe you could will work this time to forgive you from your sins. It's not that. It is just a fact that he died to redeem us, to reconcile us, and to forgive us from all our sins. It's just the truth. It's just a fact. It's news. It's the gospel, and this is what changes lives and makes people mature as they go deeper and deeper into it. And it becomes more and more part of them. So, that's a review. Now we'll start the sermon. So here's what we should do, okay? So we're doing this based on chapter 4, verses 2 through 6, and verse 2, I'm going to summarize verse 2 with this statement. God uses us to spread the good news, so number one, what we should do is stay spiritually fit so that we are ready to spread the good news, to stay spiritually fit. I have some friends that are in the military, and they have to do an annual physical fitness test. And I kind of get the impression from talking to them, I'm not in the military, never been in the military, but I kind of get the impression from talking to them that the military kind of works off the assumption that because they signed up and because they went through basic training, because they did all these things, the military kind of works off the assumption that they're willing to lay down their lives for their country. You know, like, work off the assumption you're willing to give your life for your country. But we're going to check to make sure you're willing to stay fit for your country. God uses us to spread the good news. And some of you are like, I'd wear chains. I'd give my life. Will you stay spiritually fit so that you're ready when you have the opportunity? Will you? Like, it's harder than you think. You have to pay attention to it more than you think. Yeah. Here's what the Apostle Paul writes about this. Chapter 4, verse 2. Continue steadfastly in prayer. Hey, what does he write about prayer? Pray it once, and then you probably never have to pray about it again. Is that what he writes? No. What's he pray? Yeah, pray without ceasing. Pray all the time. Continue steadfastly. Continue steadfastly. Guys, this is hard work. This is an endurance sport. This is not something you do one and you're like, do once and you're like, well, I never have to do that again. That's done. Remember, Jesus told parables where he told you the meaning of the parable and then he told it to you. Jesus told them this to learn that they should always pray and never give up. And Jesus is, you know, the Apostle Paul here is like, here's how to pray. Here's how to stay spiritually fit. Continue steadfastly in prayer. Now, what else does he say about that? He says, being watchful in it. Sounds just like Jesus. Remember, Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane pulls Peter, James, and John aside and says, pray with me and keep watch that you don't fall into temptation. And of course, they're like, yeah, yeah, Jesus, we'll keep watch, we'll pray, and then they go right to sleep. Before I did my first triathlon, I had to learn how to swim so I didn't drown, because drowning was a real option. You know, it's a quarter-mile swim, and I could always swim. You know, my parents got me swimming lessons when I was a kid, so I could always jump off the diving board and make it to the side of the pool without drowning. But a quarter-mile is something else. You know, it's a little further, and so I took individual swimming lessons. I got a buddy of mine, and so we teamed up so we could pay for it. And then we had a swim instructor, and he got us to where we could actually do the forward crawl. Because for a long time, I was like, look, dude, I can stroke or I can breathe, but you're going to have to pick. You know, like, I can't think about two things at once. And so I finally learned how to swim and breathe at the same time, which it turns out both are important. But finally learned how to do it, and it got so I was passable at it. I could do it for a while, and I had improved so much over this, like, 6 weeks that I thought I was pretty good at swimming. And so we get to the, I was going to start with a half Ironman, but then I thought, oh, I should do a little shorter one first just to kind of break myself in. Turns out that was a really good idea. So we're at the little shorter one, and, you know, I was probably Was I 30 at the time? I still thought I was young and tough, you know, and awesome. And I still remembered my running days when I was pretty competitive. And so we're here at the start of the swim, and I get my way to the front because I'm pretty good at this. You know, I just had lessons these last 6 weeks, so I'm pretty awesome at this. And I'm going to go fast. I'm pretty sure I'm going to go fast, you know, based on, I mean, what do you think, right? And so I get down there. I don't know if you've ever seen the start of a triathlon, but this was not like your age group start. This was everybody all in the water all at once. And the gun goes off, and man, it's like sharks are swimming over me all the time. Like, it, I don't know if you've ever seen it. Like, it's like just this churning water, and people are all around me, and I'm like swimming as hard as I can, and I look down, and it's so disorienting because it's just black down there. There's no black lane, you know, lane line to follow. There's just nothing down there, and so I'm kind of panicking, and there's people all around me, and I swim for what has to be half a mile, and I come up out of the water, and I'm going, and I look back, and I've gone 10 feet. Oh, this is going to be a bad day. You know? And so I swim a while longer, and I hear, hey, hey, and I think, oh, somebody else is swimming all the way along, and I, hey, and I look up, and they're like, the buoy's over there. Oh, no, I didn't know how to spot. I just had my head in the water, and I was swimming out into the middle of the lake. So finally, I make it to the halfway mark of the buoy, and it's me and one other guy. And we're both side-stroking, you know, like, just like trying to live. And he's like, dude, which if you can talk when you're swimming, it's a bad sign. Because you should, you know, you shouldn't be able to talk. You should be, just have your head down and swim. And he's like, dude, I am dangerously undertrained for this. I couldn't even say anything. I just couldn't even, I just trying to breathe. Hey, a lot of us go through life dangerously undertrained for the temptations that are coming, for the trials that are coming. Paul's like, before we talk about spreading the gospel, you need to make sure you're spiritually fit. Continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. If I could, this is not what the sermon is about. The sermon is about God uses us to spread the gospel. But if there's a gift I could give you, it is that thanksgiving is the anti-venom to satanic discontent. Man, if you think of the garden where Satan comes and starts whispering to Eve and she gets this satanic discontent, like discontent that comes from Satan and leads her into all manner of trouble. And that is like the human story of we get this discontent that comes from Satan and it leads us into all manner of trouble. And part of staying spiritually fit is being watchful and being prayerful and being thankful so that we don't become satanically discontent. And the way this works is when you give thanks and you make a regular habit of giving thanks and you train yourself to give thanks, it is a path to God-pleasing, God-honoring contentment and joy. I mean, God made us so that we would give thanks. This is our act of worship, that we would look up to Him and say, thank you. Thank you for these good gifts. Thank you most of all for the gospel. And this would make us content and joyful people. Three parts to spiritual fitness: earnestness in prayer, consistency in prayer, steadfastness in prayer. Being watchful in it, that we don't fall into temptation, and then thanksgiving. Three parts. There's other passages we could look at, but I think that's enough for today. Continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. God uses us to spread the good news. So number one, stay spiritually fit. Number two, if I could try to sum up these next couple ideas, it would be trust the message. I have a terrible time finding shoes. Terrible time, because my feet are mutantly wide. They are like deformed. They're so wide. So I have a terrible time finding shoes. And so I was buying a suit one time back when, if you're a decent pastor, you wore a suit every Sunday. Maybe that's still true, and I'm not a decent pastor anymore. I don't know, but I'm just thankful I don't have to do that anymore. But I was buying a suit so I could preach, a preaching suit. And I was at the place where they sold these things, and the guy's like, "Do you want a pair of shoes?" And I'm like, "No, I can never find shoes. I don't want shoes. It's, you know, I'm gonna get all happy that I'm gonna find a pair, and then I'll be slammed into disappointment that they don't fit." So he's like, why don't you just try it on? I mean, just try it on. It won't cost anything to try it on. I mean, it's just, I've had a lot of good luck with, you know, people try these shoes on. So he finally talks me into it. I sit down, I try on the shoes, and I'm like, wow, that actually fits. That's actually kind of comfortable. I can't believe it. And he's like, yeah, usually if I can get these shoes on somebody's feet, they sell themselves. See, this guy trusted his product. And that is a crass analogy that I wish I didn't have to use, but it's the best I can do of, like, watch when you read this. Paul trusts the message. He's like, I don't have to do anything but get this message out. That's all I got to do. All I need is an opportunity, and I need clarity. If I can just have those two things, the message will do the work itself. I'm just trying to get an opportunity to share the message. So he says, at the same time, pray also for us, that God may open to us a door for the word. I mean, if it were me writing a prayer letter as a missionary, I'd be like, pray that he lets me out of jail soon. And that might be like underneath what he's saying here, and that may be an open prison door so that we can go out there and share the good news in the sunlight again. But that's not exactly what he says. He's like, just pray that we have an open door to the word to declare the mystery of Christ. So they're going to use words to declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I am in prison, that I may make it clear, which is how I ought to speak. So he's like, I trust the message. If I can just get the message out, the message will, according to chapter 1, verses, I think it's 6 and 7. Yep, 6 and 7. If I can just get the message out, the message will bear fruit and increase. The message is powerful and works. I just need to be clear. And for you, like, you just need to know, like, it's not about you being awesome. It's about you having an opportunity to share the message and trust the message, that the message will be the message and will work in people's lives. And God will use it how he wants to use it. So God uses us to spread the good news. So number one, stay spiritually fit so you're ready. Number two, trust the message. And number three, the Apostle Paul says there are times when you have to use your words. There are times when it's time to speak up. It's a message, after all, so it has to be spoken. So he writes, walk in wisdom toward outsiders, making the best use of the time. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. So there is a time when you're going to speak up. And because the message is about Jesus, you want to sound like Jesus when you're talking. And Jesus was wisdom embodied. So be wise in your speech like Jesus. That's what he says up here. Walk in wisdom towards outsiders, making the best use of your time. This last week, I went to a couple track meets. And on my way to the track meets and during the track meets, I'm like, Lord, help me make the best use of this time. If there's a place and a time for me to share the gospel, let me see it and let me do it. Help me be clear. Give me an opportunity. So when I do that, I always try to be gracious. I try to keep people's attention and try to answer the questions as best I can. But there is a time, because I think a lot of us think we don't have to use words if we just try to live the message well enough. Well, if the message is news, imagine trying to act out the nightly news instead of just telling someone. So if you're going to try to act out the Dow Jones being down 4 points, how would you act that out? Rather than just telling someone. If you're going to try to communicate what's going on between Ukraine and Russia, how would you act that out? Versus just telling someone. If you're going to try to tell someone or act out communicate what's happening in Israel right now, would you act that out or would you just tell someone? There's a time when we have to tell people. It's a message, and messages require words. So there's a time. Of course you should live in continuity with the message. Of course you shouldn't contradict yourself. That's what we talked about. We say stay spiritually fit, be prayerful, be watchful, be thankful. Yes, all those things. But there's also a time to use your words and answer their questions. And let your speech be seasoned with salt. So, where does this meet you? It's my question. Where does this meet you? It might meet you where, some of us might be like, I think when I am looking at my life, I don't know if I have a cause that would be worth chains. Because I think I spend most of my time trying to stay comfortable. If you're really honest about your life, if I was really honest about my life, how much energy do we devote to just trying to stay comfortable? What a boring, meaningless way to live. Some of you might hear this and go, I just don't know if I'm in. I need to be delivered. I need to be transferred. I need to be forgiven. Well, do it then. Surrender to the message. Surrender to Jesus, who will deliver you, who will transfer you, who will forgive you. If you want to talk more about that, you could talk to me, you could talk to Cheyenne. Kent was up here giving announcements. You could talk to him, you could talk to his wife. You could talk to the person that invited you. Talk to someone about that. Some of us might be like, is just hearing this makes me say, I need to tell them. I need to tell them. You might have somebody on your heart that the Holy Spirit is pushing on you, saying, you got to tell them. You are my plan to tell them. What's worth chains? According to the Apostle Paul, it is spreading the good news that Jesus came, that Jesus died, that Jesus rose, so that we can be delivered, transferred, and forgiven. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that you would help us take our next step in receiving or giving the good news that you came, that you died, that you rose. Lord, let us surrender to this message and then grow in it. Lord, I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.